morning. You're welcome to say hello to a neighbor and have a seat. And there's also popcorn in the background. Good morning. Thank you all for being here today. I'm Kate Thomas. It's a pleasure to welcome you this morning. I've been going to Cedar Ridge long enough that I can't remember how many years. So today we're gonna look at the Barbie movie, which I can't tell you how much I'm surprised that that's my movie until I saw it this year. So I'll give you a little bit of background, and we've got some activities for kids as we go throughout the service today. So, Barbies are a great way for kids to play, use their imaginations, and as humans, that's how we learn, right? We play together, we come up with imaginary scenes together, and that's a really beautiful thing. Barbie has inspired that imaginative play and even encouraged kids to pursue all kinds of careers like being an astronaut or a doctor or a teacher or a baker or a veterinarian. And she gets into some deep meanings in this movie, actually, which kind of surprised me. There are some hard things about Barbie, too, like the fact that the first black Barbie wasn't born until 21 years after the original Barbie. And the first curvy Barbie wasn't born until 57 years after the first Barbie. And so I think that's part of why this movie surprised me, because it addresses some of those issues. It's not perfect, just like all of us, but I think it's got some great complexities about our struggles as humans and how that love that's inside of us can be a place for us to be at the center of, and just how our work is never done, it's never over, and we are constantly trying to figure out how to just be ourselves in this world. Disclaimer, this is a PG-13 movie, but we created the service today with kids in mind, so there isn't anything PG-13 on the screen, but if you are looking at watching it later, just keep that in mind. So, when I was a kid, I didn't even have a Barbie. I think I had a Skipper. But if I did have a Barbie, she would be playing in the mud with me. She would have been covered in mud. I love to make mud pies. That was my deal. So even if Barbie isn't your thing, I hope you can give this a try with me today. So in this first clip that we're going to have, we'll be introduced to Barbie's dream house and some of the characters in Barbie Land. And we'll also see how Barbie starts experiencing strange things in her life and doesn't quite know how to handle them. So notice what her friends do. We're going to see two clips back together here.
Who am I to burst their bubble?
Stereotypical Barbie wakes.
And here is one of those Barbies now, living her best day every day.
She waves at a neighbor.
When I wake up in my own pink world, I get up out of bed and wave to my homegirls. Hey, Barbie, hey!
She waves at a Barbie delivering milk, so cool, a pair of chess-playing Barbies, and others.
Up, just playing chess by the pool. Come on, we got important things to do. It's her and her and me.
In her pink house, Barbie steps out of her high heels, but continues standing on tiptoes.
Good enough to drink.
She smiles as she enjoys a waterless shower.
Paint just looks so good on us. What you wearing?
After opening a clothing and accessory display, a pink and white checked dress magically transfers onto her.
Hey, Barbie, I like your style. If that was really a mirror, you'd see a perfect smile.
Now she rides down a spiral slide to the pool below, where she walks across the fake water.
That's my Barbie. Go Barbie, go Barbie. That's my Barbie.
Circling around to enter the front door of her wall-less house, she opens a refrigerator and takes out a milk carton. She waves at another neighbor, then holds out a plate, and items pop from a toaster and land on it. She pretends to pour herself some milk, and then, tilting her head back and holding the cup near her mouth, pretends to drink it.
Pink just looks so good on us. Hey, pretty, intelligent, never sad.
She peers out over the pink neighborhood.
When you're playing with Barbies, nobody bothers to walk them down the stairs and out the door, etc. You just pick them up and put them where you want them to go.
Barbie floats from her roof down to her convertible.
You use your imagination.
Hey, I was still singing.
Okay. Barbie steps out of her heels and her feet go flat. She tumbles to the ground. Spinning, she gazes down at her unpointed toes.
My feet!
Tall Ken looks her way from a lifeguard tower through pink binoculars. As the volleyball players high-five, Barbie slides awkwardly onto a set of viewing bleachers.
Hey, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Yeah, Barbie, I just fell.
Fell?
I'm so embarrassed.
Barbie doesn't get embarrassed.
I know. Barbie, I don't even have context for this, but my feet, my heels are on the ground. I'm no longer on tiptoes.
That's okay. Let me see.
Barbie lifts up one leg to show her friends.
Flat feet!
Barbie herself joins in the screaming. Tall Ken retches.
Stop it, Ken.
I'm sorry.
I know I'm stereotypical Barbie and therefore don't form conjectures concerning the causality of adjacent unfolding events, but some things have been happening that might be related. Bad breath this morning, a cold shower, burnt waffle, and falling off my roof.
You're malfunctioning.
What? No, I'm...
Am I? I've never seen this kind of malfunction before. It's usually just hair related. You know, you're gonna have to visit Weird Barbie.
I have never had to visit Weird Barbie.
That's because you've never malfunctioned.
I heard that she used to be the most beautiful Barbie of all, but then someone played with her too hard in the real world.
A little girl cuts her Barbie doll's tresses, colors its face and locks with markers, singes what's left of its hair, wrenches its legs into a split, and dropkicks it into a cluttered box.
And now she's faded to an eternity of making other Barbies perfect while falling more and more into disrepair herself. That and we all call her Weird Barbie both behind her back and also to her face.
She's so weird.
Barbie's eyes narrow.
Why is she always in the splits?
Now a multicolored gate opens and Barbie, struggling to walk, steps through and makes her way toward an eccentric hilltop house.
So if you ever played with Barbie, you know that their feet are stuck in the high heel position. So she's having problems because her feet are flat, right? So life continually changes for each of us, and it's happening for Barbie now, that sometimes it pushes us to or invites us into something new or scary or exciting, lots of feelings. Life is always unexpected and keeps changing, and sooner or later we all experience hard things, like a friend moving away, somebody getting really sick, or just a hard season. Once Barbie started to deal with her problems, she didn't fully know what to do. But the people around her, they kind of helped her. You got to go to Weird Barbie. She's the one that'll help you figure it out. So when we have this new and changing landscape, sometimes it feels like we're stuck in a maze. And if any of the younger kids would like to come up, we've got some mazes. You can just welcome to come up to the front here. You've got some pens and pencils and a little activity over there. So anybody probably under 8 would enjoy that. And there's a little coloring sheet that you can do where you can make your own Barbie. So I call this place the messy middle, the place where we know that something's changing and growing, but we haven't quite figured it out yet. We're not sure what's next. You might see that like the back of a beautiful sewing. What's on the front? Nobody knows. But you can see these little bits, this little next step that you're supposed to take. Or it might be like a chrysalis to you, which, you know, we all know starts out as a caterpillar, and then before it turns into a butterfly, it's literally mush in the middle. Like, it's not anything descriptive. So sometimes we just feel like we're in that mushy middle. So Barbie and Ken set out on a journey. They're going to the real world to find the girl that's playing with Barbie. She thinks that that will change her life back to the way it used to be. And so next we're going to see a clip where Barbie feels a little lost and lonely. She's not sure where to go. She has these memories of the girl playing with her that we'll see a little bit in this clip here. And then also how she handles that while she's in the real world.
A close view shows a child and an adult's sneakered feet as they swing together on a porch. A young girl braids hair, then plays a hand clap game with someone out of view and mouths the word, mommy. In a kitchen, the girl and a woman enjoy ice cream directly from a carton. In a bedroom, the two of them play with Barbie dolls, the woman's face still unseen. Now wearing a nightgown, the girl rushes over to hug her mom, whose back is to us. Years later, the mom steps over to hug her now tween daughter, who glares so the mother withdraws. Now the tween carries a box full of toys to donate, but the mother briefly stops her to rescue a classic Barbie doll from the items. In a car parked at a school drop-off zone, the still unseen mom reaches out the driver's seat to touch her daughter's hair, but the girl brushes the hand away and climbs out. Back on the bus stop bench, Barbie slowly opens her eyes. A single tear rolls down her cheek, and she reaches up to touch it.
I felt achy, but good.
In a park across from her, she sees families gathered, children playing, and a woman wheeling a pink-helmeted girl's small bicycle down a path for her. Barbie watches a young couple talking animatedly, and a blonde girl balancing on a boulder. Lifting her gaze, she studies tree limbs branching out above the blonde girl as they sway gently in the light breeze. She notices two men laughing and does the same herself. Her smile falters as she spots a distant seated man leaning forward, pressing his fingers to his forehead. Turning, Barbie takes in an old woman sitting at the other end of the bus stop bench. The elderly woman notices Barbie staring and locks eyes with her, offering a questioning look.
You're so beautiful. I know it.
Barbie grins warmly, and the woman smiles back. Ken dashes over.
Barbie! Barbie! Yeah!
So Barbie and Ken are figuring out how to navigate this crazy thing we called life. But I would invite us each to think about how that each of those moments where we're just not sure where to go is an invitation into something deeper, this mystery that we call God. And sometimes we just need a minute to soak it in around us, to appreciate what's there and who is there. Some of those things are positive things, and some of those things are challenging things. And I'd like to challenge you one step further that God is our partner in figuring those hard things out. Even if just sitting and reflecting, you don't always hear an answer, that doesn't mean that God isn't there. We have all these confusing moments, and a lot of times those things that God is calling us to, we can notice in our bodies. So as we become more open to kind of sitting with those uncomfortable feelings, we can both use our bodies and our senses as a way to connect with God. When we're lost, we can also ask questions. Sometimes we feel that little tug. It keeps coming through for us. So about 7 years, been about 10 years ago now, I felt like my life was just a little off balance. Like I was spending a little too much time at work, and my daughter was in daycare for a lot of hours a day. And I just kept hearing these little ideas like, you could spend more quality time with your daughter. She only grows up once. You have such a passion around art. Maybe the world needs you to share that. And then, why am I still carrying all the hurt and pain from the pandemic around every day? Those were some of the things that just over years kind of unfolded for me. I just sort of kept carrying those questions. Sometimes reflecting on our past can help us figure out how to move forward. So I want to share a story of returning back to my childhood to find the path forward. So a few years ago, when I turned 40, my husband Jeff asked me what I wanted for my 40th birthday. And I said, I want to go home. And I grew up in Alaska, and he said, isn't that interesting that home is still Alaska, even though you've lived most of your life here in Maryland? But I knew that that's what I wanted to do. My daughter was 10 at the time, and that's how old I was when I lived there. So we planned a trip, booked the tickets, and 6 months later, we spent 2 weeks in Juneau, Anchorage, and Denali. So I'm gonna take a quick sidebar here and make sure everybody knows what the United States looks like, because there's sometimes confusion around this. The blue star is us in Maryland. The heart is in Juneau, Alaska, okay? It's connected to what we call the lower 48, which is these all the lower 48 states. You can drive there if you want to. We've done that as a family a couple of times. So that's where we were. We got to the airport and we'd been there about 5 minutes. And we're driving down the road, going to get some breakfast in the morning, and there's a little pull-off on the side. You know, that's just like literally pull off to the side of the road. And my daughter goes, let's go there. And I was like, okay, we'll stop for a few minutes. You know, there's a little guardrail and stuff. And she's like, I want to go out and look at the marsh. And so it was this huge, tall, grassy marsh with like a river that was flowing through it and these giant, huge mountains. I mean, it's impossible to capture in a picture, but this was like 360, you know, all the way around, these huge, beautiful mountains. And before we went down into the marsh, you know, she's like, I want to go hang out in the marsh. And my husband and I were like, oh, there's like the glacier and there's all these hiking, there's all these things you do, all these beautiful things you go see. And this was just like a roadside pull-off. Like, do we really need to spend time there? And I was like, I've learned something about following your curiosity, that if there's something tugging at you, just follow it, even if it feels a little strange. And we ended up spending, you know, probably an hour just discovering, hiding in the grasses. We found this big place that had eagle's nests in it, and if you want to flip to some of the other pictures, and just enjoyed all the like amazing beauty that was there. It was awe-inspiring. And standing at the bottom of those majestic mountains was a place that made me feel really small in the best kind of way. It was a reminder that I am a small but significant part of this grand plan that God has, part of such a larger story, just like I believe each of us are. So sometimes when we're lost, just noticing the beauty that's there around us can really help us find our path forward. There's abundance. You know, we can kind of walk through every day thinking that everything's normal and not really seeing things. Or we can see every little tiny thing as a miracle. I have a reputation in my family of taking pictures of tiny, beautiful flowers at the top of a beautiful mountain. You know, I'm like appreciating the little things and the big things too. So nature is a place where I like to go to see that ordinary, everyday thing that becomes extraordinary when you look closely at it, but it might be something totally different for you. So we're going to read from Job 12 together and just hear what God has to say. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you, which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Does not the ear test words as the tongue tastes food? Is not the wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? So I originally picked this verse because it talked about nature, but there's all kinds of other ways that God connects with us that this verse really brings out. Both all the creatures and the humans, and through our senses. I think that's something that's unique to the way that we live in our bodies right now, as we have these sensory experiences. God's power and wisdom is all around us if we pay attention. So revisiting my childhood and returning back to Alaska, I got to share fun stories and we visited, you know, my old elementary school and ate pizza at my favorite pizza place. And so I got to really kind of relive that childhood. It was a way for me to reconnect with the joy and playfulness that I had when I was little. And that became a seed that pure joy of my childhood has really helped me find my path forward. That's what lights me up, is just finding that joy and that playfulness. So we're going to come back to Barbie for a minute, because as much as it's fun to think about those joyful moments, also, sometimes we get caught up in what other people expect of us, you know, as we're trying to discern what's next. So in the midst of Barbie finding her way, she starts to feel like she has to be the best at all the things, that she's not enough. And in this last clip, we'll see Barbie interacting with Gloria, the girl that plays with her in the real world. Gloria helps Barbie understand why it's so hard.
Barbie, sit up.
What's wrong?
Barbie's face tightens mournfully, and she throws up her hands.
I'm not pretty anymore.
What? You're so pretty.
I'm not stereotypical Barbie pretty.
Note to the filmmakers, Margot Robbie is the wrong person to cast if you want to make this point.
You're beautiful.
It's not just that. I'm not smart enough to be interesting.
You're so smart.
I can't do brain surgery. I've never flown a plane. I'm not the president. No one on the Supreme Court is me. I'm not good enough for anything.
She presses her hands over her face.
It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary. But somehow, we're always doing it wrong. Like, you have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money, because that's crass.
She rises to her feet.
You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women, because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood, but always stand out and always be grateful. But never forget that the system is rigged, so find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's too hard, it's too contradictory, and nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault.
She shakes her head wearily.
I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us.
She crouches down to face the seated Barbie.
And if all of that is also true for a doll, just representing a woman.
Barbie blinks slowly.
Then I don't even know.
A look of realization sweeps over writer Barbie's face.
Wait. I did write a book. It's like I've been in a dream where I was somehow really invested in the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. But what you said broke me out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're back. She's back.
What if we're just ordinary us? Maybe that's enough. What if we don't listen so intently to all the things that other people say about us, or we think expect of us, whether they do or not? What if we listen to God's voice inside of us, helping us figure out our truth? Have you ever shared your truth with somebody and gotten this reaction? It's tough. We don't know. That's why it's a little scary sometimes to share your truth. Why have a secret? It's one of those adult secrets. It's one of those things that you don't really learn until you get a little bit older. We're all still learning. We're all still trying to figure out how to live our lives, how to balance or ignore what other people think of us. Every moment, we're deciding if we want the love of God to be at the center of who we are and how we make decisions and how we treat people. If we truly believe in God's unconditional love, does it matter what people think of us? If we simply embrace that each of us are average, would we also have the ability to be used in God's miraculous ways? Life continually changes, sometimes in ways that push or invite us into something new and hard, scary and exciting. So after our Alaska trip a couple years later, following out from that, I started to spend more time and quiet with God. So I'd try to sit quietly for a few hours a week. And I think I always thought that you were supposed to pray in this way where, you know, you're asking for the things, you have the list of all the people you're supposed to pray for, there's lots of words. But this time I started just sitting and kind of waiting for those thoughts in my mind to float away until I could really be present. It feels really uncomfortable, honestly, to feel like, why am I sitting here? Shouldn't I be doing laundry or taking care of something? Our society doesn't really encourage us to have this reflective space as much. So I would kind of work at feeling that a little bit more in my body, kind of listening to how God was pulling me, where that was coming up. And those uncomfortable feelings turned into questions that I would sit with for months. God's timing is different than our timing, right? And I would work back and forth. There was a lot of back and forth with God, and I finally decided that I wanted to leave my job doing design work. It was really scary of a jump. I didn't have a plan for what was next, and that just felt irresponsible, right? Like everybody says, find a new job before you get the other job, and what were we going to do to make ends meet and all that stuff. But after all this sitting with God, I just knew that it was the right thing to do. It felt like standing at the edge of a lake, you know, where it's got big rocks going down into a ravine that is filled with water, right? And jumping off the edge of that and not knowing what was going to happen. Like that gravity feeling in your belly of that full body dive into the air. I was trying not to think too hard about what might go wrong, but knowing deeply that this was the right thing. And over that year, God and I continued to reflect together. More and more we'd spend time together. Sometimes that was a retreat away. Sometimes that was a walk in the woods, dreaming about what could be next. We each do this thing we call life. We can do it by ourselves if we want to. You know, I think all of us have either the education or the resources or the wherewithal to make it through on our own. And I think it's incredibly hard when you have that to let go completely. And I'm challenging each of you to think about how that looks in each of your lives. God has such a larger, more eloquent story that we can write together with him or her. It is so much bigger, beautiful, and meaningful. So sometimes connecting with something bigger than ourselves has lots of different names. It might be the universe, it might be Mother Nature, it might be mystery, Yahweh, Abba, or God. These things are all different for each of us because God connects with each of us in unique ways. For every person and every different fingerprint that we each have, God connects with us in such deep ways like that. We'll have some reflection a little bit later and think a little bit about where do we spend time with God? What activities help you listen to the quiet voice that's in you? So each of those small questions in my life eventually turned into a small step after small step. I never knew what the big picture was. I still don't know what that big picture is. I just know every little step because I struggle with control. I really like having control over a situation, and so to have to let go is something that God is really working on me, together with me, and so I just know the next thing, and it's a matter of figuring out how to trust. There's been lots of ups and downs over this last year, so much learning, making mistakes, trying to figure out the path forward. But throughout that this last year, I decided to build two small businesses, one for design and one for art coaching, which is teaching people how to find their artistic curiosities and express themselves through art. And I think you can tell just by the way that I say that how much it has deep meaning for me. This challenge to come back to God and really trust and letting go of control and dreaming big with God is something I find that I need deeply and daily. I had to do it so many times to figure out how to write this message this morning. I can't do it by myself. I need God. And often God's ways are mysterious to us, but over time we learn to trust them. Let's see what Matthew 11 has to say. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to God with our little things, our big things, our questions. Come and just be together. For me, that was ignoring what people, those people that make these horrible faces when you tell them your truth. And listening to friends and family who are willing to come around me and support me. I am just a small piece of this puzzle, and I needed the whole community to support me to do any of this work. And I believe that we're each here to do that for each other. God speaks to us each in our own language and reveals things to us when we're in relationship with him. When we just are together with God, it teaches us what we need for the next season. Sometimes that might look like quiet silence, so uncomfortably long that you stop looking for answers and start just enjoying time together. For me, it means putting my feet in the mud and remembering that playful part of myself to help me find the way. And for you, that might look incredibly different. Maybe Weird Barbie will help guide you. We each have to find our own paths. And often these things are hidden, as we hear in the scriptures, from the wise and learned. When we're young, we follow our curiosities, listen to what we feel in our bodies, and are open to new ways of doing things. It's all a learning experience. And as adults, we have to remind ourselves to do those curious, connecting things with our bodies and learning how to live the experience. There's so much beauty and depth and wonder that God reveals to us when we start letting go. But we don't see these things until we surrender. More than anything, God wants to be close with us, connect with each of us in unique ways. And listening to God will help us find that path. Big life change is hard, painful, and often something we can't control. Sometimes we simply need to survive the pain. Sometimes that hard thing is something we're just surviving for a while. But in that darkness, the deep calls out to you. And in the light, the deep calls out to you. It's a scary leap to make, but also one that lets us fly. So in response to God this morning, I invite you to become present in the moment with your senses. We have a sensory table over here. So if anybody, especially the young ones, want to go grab something for the rest of you, if you want to just kind of sit at your seats, I'm going to help invite us into the space by using our senses, and then we'll have some reflection. So focus your eyes on an object that you can see or touch something nearby. Really notice the texture. The temperature. The shape. Now draw your sharp, focused attention to your sense of touch by taking your fingertips of one hand and touching the fingers and palm of your other hand. Feel the ridges, the texture, and the temperature. Whatever thoughts you might be having, just let them go without judgment. And draw your sharp, focused attention to touch. Now focus on what you can hear. Notice the sounds far away, the furthest away sounds you can hear. Now draw your attention to what you can hear close up. And if you haven't noticed it yet, hear your breathing. When you're ready, slowly come back to this moment. We're going to have a little activity for reflection. There's going to be a few questions on the screen. And I'd encourage you to pick one of these questions. There's kind of a lot because I think we're all in different places. So just pick one. What makes you curious? How can you sit with this awkwardness in life? Or how can you commit to listening more to God? Or if those are too scary for you, you can do this one. What really awkward stop the party question should you be asking society? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to reflect on that, and then we have these little pieces of paper on the table over there and a sign that says, "Be beautiful." Being you is the most beautiful thing you can do. So these ones are made to kind of fit inside the letters. There's no color on there. I need you all to help me put some color on there. So write your answers to the reflection questions on here, and there's some tape. You can tape your thing up there. I'm going to spend just a couple minutes so you can do sensory things, you can do reflection, you can do writing and posting up on that poster. So join me for a few minutes.
Thank you.
No. Hello. Hi. I'm going to invite us into communion, and we'll still have these things out that you can continue to reflect and enjoy. But I just wanted to welcome you into that space of communion where Jesus gave up his life for us and really connects with us. I feel like that spirit of Jesus is really, when we're in the hard times, it's like, I've been there, I've done that. And so I hope that you just enjoy communion up here. It's or on the side or in the middle. It's gluten-free crackers and grape juice. And, you know, sometimes I like to say the body of Christ, the blood of Christ with the people around me. There's also a bunch of other ways you can reflect. That's all written up in your bulletin. We won't go over it this morning, but candles in the back and prayer and things like that. So I'd encourage you to just take communion, enjoy more reflection if you'd like, and we'll have the band play.